ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Hey!
Ninja Monkey!
Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
Shock Therapy Live.
Vicodin.
What?
I don't know. I'm just saying random stuff.
Welcome to the show. It is your one-hour therapy session. And it's free. Let's be honest. Therapy these days, stupid expensive.
Hepatitis.
Will you stop trying to throw me off? It's working. Between you and Teo, man, I don't know how I get through the days.
Man, I
so,
don't know.
So, yeah, it's really expensive to go sit on somebody's couch and complain all day. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand that.
Why?
It's really expensive to go sit on someone's couch.
Yeah. Like, hey, I need a therapist. I need somebody to help me with all my issues. Hey, you're good. How much are you? $70 an hour.
It just sounded like a freeloader. Like,
oh, okay.
It's expensive to sit on someone's couch and complain. That's what freeloaders do. They
yeah,
sit
that's
on someone's
not
couch
expensive.
And complain
that's like
all day.
Free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's expensive to the other person who has to deal with you.
Yeah.
Friendship is costly.
That's why I killed all my friends.
Oh my gosh! Stop saying crazy things!
Wait, hold on.
With
kindness.
With kindness, of course. You heaped burning coals on their head.
No, I was just nice to them.
Yeah, I know. But in doing so, you heaped burning coals on their head.
I liked your thing on the morning show about monkeys. I want a monkey.
How great would that be?
I don't know if I'd pay $900 for a monkey.
$900 an hour?
That monkey better do some special favors. Because yeah. $900 is a lot of money for a monkey. For
it's
one
ridiculous,
hour.
Ridiculous, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I think we should just go steal a monkey from the zoo.
Oh my gosh. First of all, I don't even think they have the cool monkeys at the zoo.
What kind of monkeys are you talking about?
The little squirrel monkey. The little dude from
they
like
have that
Outbreak.
Monkey. Oh yeah, they have that
they
monkey.
Do? Oh, okay.
Yeah. They
those
have
monkeys
little squirrel
are awesome.
Monkeys. They have spider monkeys.
Man.
They've got howler monkeys. The howler monkeys are cute. I'll go over to the zoo and it says don't touch, but if you put your keys and make sounds, they look at it and they come over and they want to grab it and then you can replace your finger for the keys and they hold onto your finger. They're really cute.
You are a child, and
no,
I love every second
awesome.
Of it.
And then one time, Janae and I, we had a banana, and so we were giving it little pieces of banana.
No, it says do not feed the monkeys.
I know.
Oh, man.
The lady came and got really mad at us. She's like,
of course.
What are you feeding them? And we're like, we're just feeding them some banana. She's like, okay, not that bad, but
yeah.
They're on special diets. Please don't feed them any food.
Exactly. What if it was a vegan monkey? I guess a banana's good for vegans, so
that's
it worked
a good point.
Out. Okay.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It's a monkey, a banana. If they have their monkeys on diets where they can't eat bananas, they're horrible people. Come on. Give your monkey a banana every now and then.
I'm just saying. Can I tweet that right now?
Give
your monkey a banana every now and then.
I want to have a slap fight with a monkey. That's my goal. Just a slap fight.
Oh, man.
We were talking about with the audio guys. We want an audio room monkey.
Oh, yeah.
That we can just have, like, up in the sound booth, and we'll have, like, a zip line going down to the stage.
Okay.
And whenever there's something going wrong, we can just, monkey, boom. And he can go down with a little mic and hook a little mic up, little fingers, and come and then scurry back up the zip line. And then, like, if the drummer's sucking, we can say, monkey, go slap that drummer.
Right.
Slap the drummer.
These are the things you discuss in big important meetings that I'm not cool enough to be in yet. So
monkeys are fun.
Shock Therapy Live.
If
Steve-O,
you could have any pet, what would
Heitzig.
You have? You could have
me?
Any, yeah, any animal.
Koala bear.
Why koala? They're so boring.
I know.
They're the stupidest animal at the zoo.
That's because they're nocturnal. At night, they party like nobody's business.
Yeah, but at nighttime, I sleep.
I know.
So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep. No, koala, get out of here! Koala! Watch horror movies! Because koala bears like to watch horror movies.
This could be true. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or, of course, 505-338-3700. The phone lines are open. I feel like nobody wants to call in because this is just too good.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying?
I'd want alligators.
Alligators?
But,
are you crazy?
I'd want them in a moat. okay. around my house.
That's cool.
I had a naked Indian come into my house one time.
You did?
I don't think he would have come if I had a moat of alligators.
Okay, let's be honest. There's a lot of new listeners to Static Radio. We've been getting a lot of new likes and a lot of new people since Teo came on. So there's a lot of people who don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just say, I had a naked Indian
in
my house.
No, I totally can. It makes it so much better. They're like, what kind of parties is he having?
This is Pastor Nate Heitzig, by the way, in charge of the college ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque.
I do live in a teepee, though, so, I mean, let's be fair.
So if you'd like to get serious for 8 seconds.
No, I don't want to. I'm having too much fun.
I know you are. We actually did get some questions over the weekend, and, you know. And the yesterday, today, Shock Therapy Live.
The yesterday?
Via yesterday.
Oh, I thought you said the yesterday.
The yesterday.
We had some the yesterday.
We had some the yesterday, so.
Okay.
You know.
Looks like the southern charm of Mateo's rubbing off on you a little bit too much.
Really? The yesterday? Hey, the yesterday. I was born and raised in Texas. I hate it when I get around those people. I say y'all always, but, you know. Other things start just coming
out
of the woodwork.
Which question are we answering?
I don't even want to start there. We got a couple. I know that one. Those are the last
just
couple.
These two?
Yeah, those are the two new ones.
Well, someone should call us then.
505-338-3700 is the phone number if you would like to call us up. Shock Therapy Live, your 1 hour therapy session. You know what? It's really a 1 hour call-in show. Based on anything, really. We're unshockable.
Yeah.
We'd like to hang out with you. We'd like to talk.
We like to have fun, too.
Yeah, we do. We really do. So if you'd like to give us a call, hang out with us, 505-338-3700. We do have a couple anonymous email questions. If you would like to keep it anonymous, you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's a great way to get involved in it as well without having to say, hey, my name's Jeff, and I am a regular...
alcoholic.
Yeah.
What?
Or something. I don't know.
A regular guy?
Fill in the blank.
I'm a regular...
You don't have to fill in the blank.
Horseman. How do I get rid of my horse legs? Surgery.
I'd be a little more shocked about something like that.
Hi, my name's Jeff and I'm a senator. How do I fix that? Well, Jeff, interesting you should ask that because I am also a senator.
Aren't they just called centaurs?
I don't care.
It's centipede centaur.
Centaur?
Yeah, centaur.
Are you sure it's not senator?
No, that's senator, and they live in Washington. Hey!
Oh, good.
Thank you. Thank you.
And both of them can kick you in the face.
You know what? We are both in rare form today, so good luck keeping us focused on
Shock Therapy
Live. Not
gonna happen. I'm gonna do what I wanna do.
Oh,
you
man.
Can't stop me.
So, question, Shock Therapy Live.
Hey guys. I have the opportunity to take college classes while in high school.
Ooh. Good job, college high school man.
Oh man, you're so smart, boy.
That's good.
So I signed up for a class that interferes with my duties at my congregation. I get paid for doing the slides for worship. I want to do what I can now. Huh? I want to do what I can now so that I can get through college fast. But I also do not want to disappoint anyone or leave my position and not have anyone to fill it. I live right by the main campus, so it's convenient to go there instead of another campus. Am I just being selfish? Should I stay and do my duty? Thanks.
First thing I heard in that was, I don't want to... What did he say? I don't want to disappoint anyone? Here's the thing. Either way, somebody's going to be disappointed.
Yes.
Guess what? Get used to it. In ministry, someone will always be disappointed no matter what you do. Hey, I don't like the way this is happening. Hey, I don't like the way you said that. Hey, I don't like the way this happened. Hey, I don't like... Someone's always going to be disappointed. So who gives a crap about what everybody else thinks about what you're doing in ministry? Nate? Answer's
yeah.
No one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's not.
But the truth is, what is God calling you to do? I mean, you absolutely need to pray about that because... I do understand, like, man, but I just want to be a part of this ministry 24/7 and do these great things. You still need to continue to do what it is that you are growing in, what God has called you to. And so if that's going to college and furthering your education so that in turn you can get whatever it is, job or whatever you feel led to do, you can do that. There's still wisdom in going to school, right?
Yeah. And now I'm going to take the more carnal answer because okay. Steve-O answered like godly. So this is what I would say. This is all I heard in that. I get paid to run slides at my church.
I am not, I didn't even want to comment on that because I'm the worship leader at my church. I am the worship leader at my church and I get paid zero.
Yeah.
I want to know what church you attend.
Right? Now, so this is my thought. I'm pretty sure they're going to be able to find someone else to pay to run slides.
They pay somebody to run slides!
They're going to be like, hey, does anyone else want to make some money to run slides? Me!
And all the other little churches in Albuquerque are telling us to shut up because they're like, shh! We have somebody running slides for free right now!
We've been giving our slide person peanuts. They've been taking peanuts.
I don't even get peanuts to do worship, so.
Oh, man.
Consider yourself blessed that you have a church that pays you to run slides?
Right now, I can just hear the church in the street. Shh, don't tell our monkey. We haven't paid him any years.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's funny because that's I love that that's what you picked up on.
On that note, you know, because he's worried about, you know, if they're going to be able to, is he going to be leaving people hanging? I don't think you are. If they're paying someone to run their slides, I'm sure they're going to be able to find someone else to pay to run their slides. If it was like a volunteer basis and you were their only person and, you know, then there'd be an issue. But I think you follow where God's leading you. And if you feel that God is leading you to this education and to be able to take these classes, then I think you take that opportunity. It's a cool opportunity, and it doesn't come up all the time, so I'd take it.
There you go.
Personally.
All right. Thank you for the email.
I don't have a Bible verse to back that up.
Okay. Do you want one?
No.
Joel chapter 2.
What does that say?
Verse 3.
We should read that.
Let's do that.
Joel 2, verse 3.
Joel 2, 3. All right. That's going to be the verse that it just came to me. It was just,
that's
you know,
going to be your new band name, too. Joel 2, 3.
Joel 2, 3. Oh, yes.
Joel 23, because that sounds more like 90s. Joel 23.
Joel 2, verse 3 says, fire devours before them and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness and nothing escapes them.
Wow. Yeah. That's a cool verse.
It's a metal band.
Dude, no. So. That is like a verse for the new expansion of World of Warcraft.
There you go.
It's like, fire behind me.
Yes,
death,
dude.
Before me.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to take that verse in context, what it is saying is behind you are the slides in the church and what you were doing before, and before you is college.
If you want to take it out of context, quit college and start training to become a dragon.
There you go. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the email, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you would like to ask a question or just hang out with us, because it's one of those kind of days. You can also find us on Facebook.
No one's calling because they're like, are they on drugs?
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
I've heard about this.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you. And, yeah, I know we got another email question that was a little interesting.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi. I have a question.
Okay.
Love listening every day to y'all.
Hey, thanks.
She
I
said
wish
y'all.
You were here every
she
day.
Said y'all.
Oh, so she's talking about Matt.
Yeah. So this shouldn't be asked to me.
Oh, okay.
I reject it.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. My husband is a member of the Masonic Lodge. Recently, I was in ABQ riding with other wives whose hubbies belonged to the Masonic Lodge and a bit older. I'm 36 years young. We were passing Calvary campus and I apparently got excited, almost as an Elvis sighting excited, laugh out loud. The ladies then counseled me that the Calvary Church was picketing the Masonic Lodge and I should have nothing to do with the church. I honestly had my feelings hurt.
Sorry.
I should have listened. I wasn't ready for that. Sorry, I don't do this every day.
Sorry.
You confused me with Matt.
I'm in a really weird mood.
No, it's okay. I like that.
Okay, good.
But I'm going to make my monkey slap you. I have never had any of y'all talk bad about anything. I explained my side and have had a strained relationship with them ever since. The Masonic Fraternity Foundation starts with God. They start their lodge with a prayer and end with a prayer. What is the church's view on the Masonic Lodge? Also, what is your personal view on the Masonic Lodge?
Oh.
Jessica. Honestly, I'm going to answer honestly. I don't know enough about it to give you a proper answer. I've got a book that talks about it, and I could research it and give you an answer on that. But, you know, the a big part of it is the Masonic Lodge, especially the higher up views and beliefs, is very secretive. And so, you know, I think a lot of people have, you know, different views about it because mm-hmm. there's like secret handshakes and rings and a lot of different things. And there's a lot of secrecy to the whole organization. And so, you know, especially within Christianity, we're not called like what we know about Christ as Christians isn't called to be a secret. It's not called to be like these secret things that we say in hidden rooms. It's something that should be proclaimed to the entire world. So on that standpoint, anything that we have to keep secret isn't necessarily a good thing. What we believe in Christ should be not just it shouldn't be a secret, it should be shouted from the rooftops. You know, the Bible says, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, we don't want to hide the light that God has given us. And so that would be what I would say.
Now, it's funny, because I'm quite passionate, actually, about this topic, in a sense that it hasn't super changed. But when I was in high school, my stepdad, at the time, he was a Mason, and he was crazy. And he did a lot of crazy things, and he was a jerk, and he was not a believer in any way, shape, or form, and as far as it goes, that's the dude that was amazing that used to hit me, and like, you know, we could go into these deep, like, sad, oh, poor Steve-O talks that we're not going to go into. But this guy was a jerk, and so I associated that with the Masons always because it was always his brethren and always these crazy, secretive, like, Sons of Anarchy, biker club type stuff, and it was the Masons. And he had the Mason ring, which is usually what was imprinted on my face when he would hit me.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I hated, and anytime somebody was like, yeah, I'm a Freemason, I'd be like, beep, and I'd turn the channel, and no, absolutely not. Well, then I met this dude who is a Freemason who says, absolutely not, I believe in Jesus Christ, and da-da-da, and it's all centered on Christ, and blah, 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 blah. And he started talking to me about, in fact, he wanted me to go to one of the meetings once. And I really had to pray about it, and I actually sought counsel with my pastor and said, hey, bro, here's what's going on, what are your thoughts on it? And he had some insight on the Masons as well, and it was like a, there's discernment and wisdom in saying, you know, you don't really have enough time because, one, you really don't have enough time. It is a lot of work. Yeah. And if you're going to spend that much time doing something, why not spend that much time doing that in the church?
Yeah.
And then right now, you know, I just got a text from somebody who says, FYI, has some insight on it. The dogma of Masonry states they follow the Luciferian theology. This means that Satan's the good guy and God the tyrant who unfairly kicked him out. But it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, and well,
everyone's got a perspective.
Here's one
on
thing
this.
I do know about Freemasonry. Freemasonry is more of a club than a religion. And so there is not an exclusivity within Freemasonry, which means that if you go to a Freemason lodge, oftentimes there will be a Bible, a Quran,
right.
There will be a book of Satan, there will be many spiritual books.
Right.
And that's because they believe that Jesus isn't the only way, that he's one of the ways. And so, you know, the very process of joining the lodge requires Christians to ignore the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. So, you know, according to Freemasonry, a person will be saved and go to heaven as a result of good works right. and personal self-improvement. That's why there's a series of ascending in levels, that you can become a certain level of Mason, because of the higher level you are, in a sense, it's kind of like Hinduism, that the higher level you achieve, the more spiritual you are. And so there isn't a biblical standpoint for that. So, yeah. You know, we believe as Christians salvation from sin comes from only Jesus Christ.
Whereas,
again, you might say, well, my lodge doesn't believe that. Okay, well, Freemasonry as a whole
right.
believes that. And so if you yeah. identify yourself as part of this, it would be like saying, well, you know, I'm a Mormon, but I don't believe some of the crazy stuff that Mormons believe. Well, it doesn't matter if you don't personally believe that. You're identifying yourself with a group of people who, by and large, believe some of these crazy views.
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about it that way. I'm hoping my buddy calls in. Static!
Hey, what's up, dude?
Shane. Hurricane
Shane.
Oh, Shane.
Here's the thing. My grandfather was an amazing guy. I mean, 20 years in the Army, 20 years in the LAPD, back-to-back. Just my hero
right.
in life. He was a Freemason. He was born in England. His, you know, my great grandfather, Standard Oil, 32 years retired, just an awesome group of dudes. all Freemasons. So here's the thing. So I'm a 32nd degree Freemason. It's a fraternity. It's a, as much as any fraternity ever was, a religion. And I can honestly say, having, you know, obviously been in lodges and gone to the degree, like, I know there's one degree out there to get, right? Degree. So, but, it must be a doozy, because I've ever...
You're breaking up.
You're breaking up, Shane!
Okay, I've never in my life seen a satanic Bible anywhere.
You've never seen a satanic Bible anywhere, is what you're saying?
No, okay. Absolutely not. And, you know, my whole thing coming up, I didn't, was just to honor my mother's family, to show respect to her dad, and say, you know, this is a truth of their side of the family, and I'm going to keep that going, right?
Okay.
So, in doing that, you know, I went through this. Everything that I...
Why are you calling us from the Grand Canyon?
We can't hear you.
What's that?
I said, why are you calling us from the Grand Canyon? You keep cutting out, and I'm really interested to know what you're saying. Yes. Don't move.
Okay.
Keep your arm up.
I'm not moving. So, yeah, dude, I mean, it was just to glorify, the family, just to show respect, and that's why I went into it initially. But I got to tell you, dude, I've never once felt conflicted with my Christianity and being a Mason. So I don't know if there's some of these, you know, higher levels, like everybody seems to think that there's these higher levels where all this weird stuff's taking place, and maybe there is. But to my knowledge, as a 32nd degree Freemason, I've never experienced one thing that brought me into a conflict with my Christianity or my relationship with Jesus Christ.
What?
I've served kids at the Shrine hospitals that are suffering from cancer. I mean, as far as charitable, doing charities and things like that, that's the only thing I've ever seen these guys do. These guys are firemen. These guys are federal agents. These guys are cops. These guys are putting everything on the line for the most part. These are the guys that are you know, the raddest people in the community. So from my own point of view on Freemasonry, dude, I've never seen anything like what was described. I've never seen a satanic Bible anywhere. I could tell you quite certainly, dude, that I wouldn't be a part of that group. So.
Yeah, you know, and this is what I would say. You know, we're not doubting that they're good people, and they are very much known for doing charitable things and doing things in the community. But I would say this: what distinguishes them from a different fraternity is, unlike any other fraternity, they insist that all the members believe in a deity, and they insist on this spiritual element of it, which distinguishes it from just a normal fraternity. And so, you know, as far as you know, what they actually believe, what they say is that all members must believe in a deity, but they don't say that deity has to be Jesus Christ, that it can be the deity of Judaism, the deity of Islam, and they acknowledge the same God, calling him different names. And so
in the interest of toleration, not in the interest of anything but that.
You know, and that's a really fine line of saying, at what point is it toleration, and at what point does it become, you know, just an inclusive religion and inclusive, saying all views are right.
We've got to go to another line because I got Brian right, Nixon calling
dude,
in.
I love you guys.
I
God
love you too,
you
Shane.
Guys. Have an amazing day.
God
all right,
bless
man.
Shane.
All right, I wanted to get some insight on this, and a friend of ours who has some insight.
Yeah,
this is Brian.
Brian Nixon.
Well, Steve-O and Nate, what's going on?
Oh, you know,
dude,
rocking some Shock Therapy Live.
We're talking about swords and hidden rooms.
Yes.
Swords and hidden rooms. Man, I kind of like that sound. Yeah.
We got a question here on Shock Therapy Live from a listener. Will you read B-Nix the question?
Yeah, they said this. I have a question. Love listening every day. My husband is a member of the Masonic Lodge. Recently, I was in ABQ riding with other wives whose hubbies belong to the Masonic Lodge and a bit older. We were passing Calvary campus, and I apparently got excited, almost as an Elvis sighting excited. And the ladies then counseled me that the Calvary Church was picketing the Masonic Lodge, and I should have nothing to do with the church. I honestly had my feelings hurt. I've never heard any of y'all talk bad about anything. I explained my side, and I've had a strained relationship with them ever since. The Masonic Fraternity Foundation starts with God. They start their lodge with a prayer and end with a prayer. What is the church's view on the Masonic Lodge? Also, what is your personal view on the Masonic Lodge?
great question, and you know what? Let me just say on the offset that it truly does, generally speaking, represent what I call the general misunderstanding of the Masonic Lodge. What I say, and what I mean by that, is most people, when they think of the Masonic Lodge or Freemasonry, think of it kind of like the Shriners. These are folks that just go out and try to do good and help. And to a certain extent, that is true. The Masonic Lodge does have what we call a social arm, that they do go out and help in the community and do good from, you know, a societal standpoint. However, when you go deeper and more in depth into their belief system, the only thing I could say, and to, you know, to really just summarize it without going overboard, is that they would be a universalist organization with peculiar belief systems that make them almost occultish, not occult, but occultish in their demeanor. Historically, most what I would call evangelical Protestant churches, particularly from the Anabaptist strain, have been very leery of Masonic lodges. And you talk about Brethren, Mennonite, and others. They actually have in their statements of beliefs that members can't be Masons because of the general practices and beliefs of the Masonic Lodge. But again, most people think of them as Shriners, guys that dress up as clowns, hand out candy and balloons at parties.
Right.
But as I said, as you go deeper into the belief system, they are not a Christian organization.
Right.
Now, Brian, here's a question, because we had someone who called who just said that they were a part of the Masonic Lodge. They were a 32nd degree Mason. And he was saying that it's not a religion, that it's just like a fraternity, and that they just do good things, and that, you know, that he was saying, and I mentioned the fact that there's no exclusivity in the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you can believe in any deity, and
right,
that you can believe in any book. And he was saying, yeah, but that's not for the purpose of religion, that's for the purpose,
of tolerance.
And so what would you say to that, that if someone says, well, it's just like any other fraternity, and you know, it's people join fraternities in college that aren't Christian fraternities, but they're not identifying and saying they're not Christian. So how would you respond to something like that?
Well, again, because of my knowledge of Freemasonry, particularly certain strands or, you know, bands of the Masons, be it the Scottish Rite or various rites, I do know of their belief system. So for me, it's very difficult to separate what I do know about what they believe, particularly their rituals and rites. And I would have to emphatically say these are not Christian. They do not adhere to a biblical standard of faith. However, if this gentleman called in and says, listen, I'm a born-again Christian, I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Which he did,
I've trusted him, and for me, it's just a social brotherhood that we go out and do good. I could see his point to a certain extent, but he claimed to be a 32nd level. And let me tell you here, a 32nd level Mason emphatically knows the inner workings and belief systems of the larger Masonic order. And because you're a 32nd Mason, I would really be concerned that a true biblical faith is in any way aligned with Freemasonry. I mean, there's some really interesting, and I use that in a very speculative term, you know, belief systems and the secret societies and everything else that goes into it. As a matter of fact, Mormonism has its roots in Freemasonry. And again, now hear me clearly. I'm not saying Mormons are Freemasons.
Right.
I'm saying Joseph Smith and others were pulling from elements of Freemasonry. They were pulling from elements of different, you know, other belief systems as well. But the secret society, different types of, you know, belief systems, again, for me it just comes down to that they are a universalist mindset, and Christianity is you know, it's very specific. And, Christ is Lord.
And right. I would say this, when you identify yourself with an organization and you're saying that you're one of these people, especially if you're higher up, you're saying that you believe what they believe. You're identifying with their beliefs. You're identifying with what they say. And here's some of the things that Masonry says. These are some of the oaths of Freemasonry. Number one, that salvation can be gained by man's good works.
That's right.
Number two, that Jesus is just one of many equally revered prophets.
That's
number
right.
three, that they will remain silent in the lodge and not talk of Christ. Number four, that they are approaching the lodge in spiritual darkness and ignorance, when the Bible says Christians are already in the light, children of the light, and are indwelt by the light of the world, Jesus Christ. They say, number five, by demanding that Christians take the Masonic oath, Masonry leads Christians into blasphemy and taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Hmm.
And then finally, Masonry teaches that it is G-A-O-T-U, Great Architect of the Universe, who Masonry believes is the true God of the universe and is representative of all gods in all religions.
You nailed it. I mean, and again, there's a lot of research out there, that, and booklets and internet sites that really give the deeper understanding or theological or philosophical beliefs of Masons, and when you compare that to a biblical worldview, they are not compatible. So,
yeah.
Again, in all due respect to this gentleman who called, who's a 32nd Mason, and claims to be a Christian, I would never presume that, I would never say, well, you're not a Christian. You know, that's between him and the Lord, and,
right.
and I completely understand that. However, I would agree with you emphatically, Nathan, when you look at the belief systems and the codes of the various lodges, you have to hold them up in light of Scripture, and you will find that they do not match.
Yeah.
The codes of the lodges and the code, if you will, or the teachings of Scripture are not compatible. They aren't. So that's why so many evangelical churches, particularly here in America, have had in their doctrines, we are anti, or you can't be a Mason because Masonry and Christianity are not compatible.
Yeah, and you know, this is where I would say is a big thing, you know, when we talk about, cause what it sounds like a lot of people want to do it for the fellowship, and oh, I'm not in it for what they believe, the religious stuff, I'm just in it for the fellowship. You know, that becomes a really dangerous spot, because I've heard people say the same thing about other false religions, is that, oh, you know, the only reason I'm a Mormon is because they love family so much, and I love their family values, and I love the fellowship that I get there, and that can become an excuse to go into false religion, mm-hmm. and again, when we look at an organization, to get involved with any organization, we want to look at their beliefs. And we want to say, do I identify with what they believe? And some of the things that Freemasonry believes at its core aren't just in a gray area. They're completely anti-Christ. They're completely anti what the Bible says.
Exactly. And I concur with that completely. And again, if you look at the history of the Masonic Lodge, you know, it's early history. Let's say early Middle Ages, where it was a fraternity of like-minded people who... usually what we'd consider like guilds, like, you know, you have the group that were stonecutters, you have these type of things.
I was in a guild called, Death Knights.
Yeah, we were in a guild,
right.
No.
But then as it progressed, it took on religious connotations, and many of these religious connotations really formed into what you specifically said, anti-Christian ideology. And so I personally would encourage any evangelical Christian to think long and hard before joining, you know, the Mason Church. And again, you know, its history, the Masonic Lodge's history is full of occultic practices. And again, I'm not just talking, you know, just basic stuff, but we're talking the symbolism, the rootedness in worldviews that are anti-Christian, let alone its influence on Mormonism, which, again, is well documented. I mean, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, all of them were Masons, and they used the Mason ideology and Mason symbolism to, you know, help start the Mormon Church. And Smith himself, in the mid-1800s, 1840, 1842, somewhere around there, became a Master Mason. What, you know, this guy is claiming to be a 32nd level Mason. So Joseph Smith was that as well, and he knew well what they were teaching. So he incorporated that into the body of Mormon ideology. And if you look at that, you could go, boy.
Brian, what's that book? There's a book that's like Kingdom of the Cults, but it's by a different guy. I forget the name of the guy. And Freemasonry is one of the cults that it talks about within that book. It's listed with several other cults and several other false religions, but there's a great book on that. I had it, and it was like it's like a competition for Kingdom of the Cults. It's a really really good book on that subject.
Is it the one by I don't know specifically, but I'm probably you're thinking of the Handbook of Today's Religions by Josh McDowell and Don Stewart.
It might be the one by Don Stewart.
Yeah. Josh McDowell and Don Stewart did a book several years ago where they included Freemasonry as part of the larger discussion of, you know, cults, because Freemasonry, ultimately, as a religious world system, if you will, belief system, it would be categorized as a cult or occultish, you know, as well. So, but again, there's lots of free stuff online that people could, you know, get as well to really investigate this further.
And this goes for anything, right? Because, you know, I'm thinking about not just Freemasons, but a dear friend of mine who is currently going through Alcoholics Anonymous and says, hey, this is a Christian organization. We all pray at the beginning, but some are Mormon, some are, and we're all just praying together, and it doesn't matter because the point is that it's founded in quote-unquote religion. And so would you say just to discern no matter what it is? Because, I mean, we could talk all day long about the great things that AA has to offer and how it has helped thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, you know, kick an addiction. However, would you say that would be in the same line of, well, you got to be careful because no matter what, at the end of the day, what is their stance on who Jesus is?
Exactly. That's what I said. When the core of it is it's universal, that always lead to God. It's not Jesus is the Son of God. So, I mean, again, we could take apart the Freemasonry from many different angles, many different angles. But when it comes down to it, they would teach that God is known by many names, Jehovah, Krishna, Buddha, Allah, and that Masonry is a works-oriented system, and if you go out and do good, you know, you could be a Christian, you could be a Buddhist, but when all said and done, it's about your good works. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul is emphatic that we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So the bottom line is that the Masonic teachings to have a universalist perspective, let alone all of the kooky different ideas that that go on. So, you know, within the Masonic Lodge. And Ron, I do also know that Ron Rhodes, another popular author, wrote some articles about Masonry. A gentleman...
That was the book. It's by Ron Rhodes. There's a book by Ron Rhodes, I think, that's on, like, the different
and
religions.
He's fantastic, man.
Yeah, and the other thing is the Christian Research Institute. I do remember a gentleman by the name of John Weldon, I believe was his name, several years ago wrote an article about the Masonic Lodge. And so CRI, which is Christian Research Institute, which is a they look into occults and occult type things and give biblical responses. And if my memory serves me correctly, Weldon's, you know, general argument was, you know, essentially Masonry teaches a completely different base of salvation.
Okay.
You know, and the Masonic God is a different God than the Christianity. When you compare it, you know, their God's like the Great Light, you know, or something of that nature, something very nebulous. And then he goes on to, you know, I think in the article, draw parallels between pagan religions and the Masonic understanding. Of course, as Nathan already pointed out, which is getting to the core of it, they really have a distorted view of who Christ is. They have a distorted view of what salvation is. And again, John Weldon, I think there was an article out there, so the listeners can pick that up as well.
The book that I was thinking of, Brian, it was by Ron Rhodes, and it's called The Challenge of the Cults and New Religions by Ron Rhodes. And it goes really in-depth into Masonry. It goes into Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Mind Sciences, New Age Movement, Scientology, Baha'i, Oneness, Pentecostalism, and a bunch of other things like that.
Yeah. And Ron Rhodes is solid and gives great insight. And, you know, obviously Don Stewart and Josh McDowell as well. So I think the listeners should really investigate. And to this gentleman that called in, you know, I would really challenge him to get one of these books and really look at, cognitively study what these gentlemen are saying, and then ask himself, what do I believe? Do I believe what the Masonic Lodge is teaching, or do I believe what the Bible is teaching? And again, there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a clash of worldviews between what these two teach. And so, you know, anyone involved in Masonry, my recommendation is to investigate further what Masons believe and teach and think compared to what the Bible teaches, and then you come to your own conclusion.
Right on.
Awesome. Brian, thank you, man.
Pastor
appreciate
Brian
it.
Pastor Brian Nixon, thank you so
much,
man.
All right, guys.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got to take a break.
We really do got to take a break. We've been talking about this for some time.
40 minutes.
Yeah, I immediately think of, as Brian's talking, for any believer, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 20, says, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil." And that, at the time, was talking specifically about different churches, different whatever you heard from a different pastor or a different, you know, somebody who was claiming the gospel or claiming, no, we love Jesus. It was, okay, test it. Test all things, you know, like cling to the good stuff, but expel every form of evil.
Now, I will admit, being in a guild and playing with swords sounds like a lot of fun. And if I get to fight,
I highly doubt the Masons
if I
play
get
with
to
swords.
Fight, no, they use swords in their rituals.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've seen them at the park over by the mall on Saturdays.
Sure. Pretty sure that's not the same thing. Pretty sure.
It's really,
you know,
pretty cool.
I think, getting to the heart of the brotherhood and wanting to have community and wanting to have fellowship, we have, Lobo groups. We have community groups here, at Calvary ABQ.
And men's ministry. You know, we talk about a fraternity,
absolutely.
The men's ministry.
Absolutely. Challengemen.org is the website for the men's ministry here. If you want to get involved with like-minded people, I do agree that, man, in order to be involved in a fraternity of sorts, in a brotherhood of sorts, you do need to be like-minded.
Yeah. And if you want to bring your sword, you can.
Been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy, and they're a brotherhood. They do a lot of crazy things, and I couldn't be in
there.
There.
You just
went there. I couldn't be in their motorcycle club.
You just totally disqualified all of our statements about men's ministry.
Why? Because men's ministry has cool Sam Crow stuff.
Oh, no.
That's the Sons of Anarchy motorcycle.
Okay, we need
club
to take a break. We're digressing.
All right. There you go.
We'll see you guys in a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Check out more at facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to chime in. Quick break. Right back. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, Shock Therapy Live.
And our monkey.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
Any leader knows this to be true. There's always a temptation. Whether you're a small group leader or a pastor or the head of a denomination, we love people following us. We love it when people say, oh, I need you, and I learn from you, and we love that kind of dependence. We want to foster this, well, let me lead you, and I'll show you what to do. But a healthy thing, as seen here in John the Baptist, is when we say, hey, you've been my disciples, but now be his disciples. Follow him. And that's what John does. He hands them off. They leave his church, and they join Jesus. And later on, John the Baptist will say, I must decrease and he must what? Increase. And that's exactly what John does. John fades away from the story. But now it's all about Jesus.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig. Or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspots.
This is The Wire.
So what does the Bible have to say about worship? You know, you could check out the Clarity Conference being put on by Solid Youth Ministry and find out. July 27th and 28th, they'll have music, of course. It is a worship conference, after all. Guest speakers, a spotlight on some featured ministries of the church, and a baptism. The event is July 27th at 6:30 p.m. and the 28th beginning at 11 a.m. at the All Nations Assembly of God on the corner of 12th and Manal. Oh, and bring a friend if you like. Check the community calendar at mystaticradio.com for more.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
All right. Welcome back to the show.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting. Oh, yeah, dude, you got it. You're ready for it. Oh.
Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig kicking it with you.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
It is.
I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is really awesome.
45. Got about 10 minutes left to show. If you'd like to hang out with us, if you've got a question for Shock Therapy Live,
you know, it's funny. This, like, people before this song, playing the trumpet was not cool. But now if you play the trumpet, it's like, oh, cool. You're like, you know, like Macklemore.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah. Like, more like
Phil Driscoll. Not,
yeah. Phil, who's Phil Driscoll?
Do you remember Phil Driscoll?
No.
Wasn't that like an old dude that played the trumpet?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Is he related to Mark?
No, dude. Phil Driscoll. I think my mom listened to Phil Driscoll.
Phil?
I think he played the horn, like Kenny G.
Phil Driscoll. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Huh. Anyways.
The cursing trumpeter.
The vast array of idiot knowledge that I have.
I don't have that kind of knowledge.
So, if you have a question for Shock Therapy Live, or if you just have something to talk about, you want to chime in on the conversation at hand, we had a question about masonry, and wow, it turned into like a lecture. It was pretty great, actually. Having Pastor
B-Nix.
Brian Nixon. We call him B-Nix around here. Love that dude. He has a vast knowledge.
We should
about,
come
just
up with
anything.
Like a song for B-Nix, like B-Nix the Phoenix. He rises from the ashes. Like have some crazy like I want to have an image of Brian Nixon like this superimposed with a phoenix.
That's cool.
Like flying.
I don't know if he'd ever do it.
Out.
I don't know if we could ever get him in that pose, but we could try.
Just get him. How do we
trick him into
him
doing that?
Getting that photo.
I don't know. We'll get him out here. I keep wanting to have him on the show more often because that guy, we were talking last night. We went to dinner and we were talking about the amount of books
just
he reads.
Just ask him a question. So Brian, can you give us like I just want to, what would it actually have looked like? In what position would someone have hung on the cross? Can you give us an actual, like, I kind of thought it was down.
Was it really?
Well, it was more like, like this.
Ah, boom, got it. Okay, good. Go,
Phoenix
run.
Photo, quick.
That dude is currently reading, no exaggeration, we were with him and Melanie last night, 15 books this week.
Mm.
15!
I'm doing that right now.
Yeah,
in my mind.
I know. I wish I could do that.
Oh, just finished another one.
I think I've read 15 books in my entire life. Actually, if you break up the Bible in 66 books, then I could say, well, I've read at least those. Mm. And then plus the 7 other books I've read.
Mm.
Do comics count?
No.
Ah, darn. Okay. I was about to go for at least 100.
More than that.
In my lifetime. So anyways, hey, we were talking a little bit about masonry. We were talking a little bit about getting involved in fraternities. And you, sir, are the teaching pastor of Renovate, which is Thursday nights at Lobo.
Disclaimer, we are not Masons.
Right. However, you're rad people.
Yeah, we have
fun. You're in a series right now.
Dude, it was
right
cool.
Now.
This past Thursday, we saw over 30 people give their lives to Christ.
I saw that on Instagram. It
crazy.
Never gets old seeing
so
that.
So awesome.
Ever, ever, ever. I shed tears every time. It's like, those are family members now, man. And it's amazing. And God is doing some great things. You know, in the book of Acts at the early church, when it was talking about growth and it was talking about God blessing ministries, basically, their numbers increased. And that was the way that we saw that. And at Renovate, it seems like week in, week out, the numbers are increasing.
Yeah.
More and more people are getting saved and coming to that knowledge of Jesus Christ. And
it's a lot of fun, man. It's just cool. It's cool to see God work. We're going through a series right now through the book of Matthew called Checkmate.
It's pretty amazing.
And it's been a lot of fun. You know, I titled the series Checkmate because the concept of Matthew is that Christ is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, have this concept of the book as a whole, but it's so funny that every single message so far is tied in with this concept that Jesus is the King of Kings and he puts every other king into checkmate.
Ah?
You know, from Herod, he put Herod into checkmate. From just a baby boy, you know, he had the wise men, these sages, these kings come and bow before him. You know, as we talk about, even in the genealogy of Christ, you see this concept that he's the King of Kings. You know, David couldn't hold a breath with him. Solomon couldn't hold a breath with him. All these kings all bowed before the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And it's been this resounding message through every single chapter so far. And it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, even we just talked about this past week, we did a message on Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, and it's John the Baptist, and it's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, repent. And John, he was truly the herald for Christ. He was the forerunner
of Christ.
He was
the silver surfer, if you will.
You know, and he came pronouncing the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and bow before the king. And you know, there's just this resounding message that Jesus Christ is the one and only king.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun. We've seen God do some really cool things.
It's cool. You guys also have something called Lobo Groups where, we were just talking, you know, Freemasons and fraternity and brotherhood and getting involved. And, the Lobo Groups, they meet all throughout the city.
Yeah. All throughout the city, different times, different days. And we stress it because it's the most important thing we do at Renovate besides our weekly gathering on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And we really stress that community that, you know, it's astonishing that they say that, of people who come to the church for your first time, you know, first time visitors, the average church has a retention rate of less than 10%. So if you have a first time visitor come, there's a 90% chance they're not going to come back.
Wow.
And so one of the key ways you can get people involved and plugged in to continue coming is through small group fellowship. You know,
yeah.
People come and they want to identify with you. They want to be a part of what you're doing and they want to feel welcome and feel at home. And the best way you can do that is getting them involved with a small group of people. And so we do Lobo groups and they meet again every week around the city, different times, different days, and we just talk about what we're going through at Renovate right now. We have fellowship, we have food, we just hang out and have a good time, and they're really great. My wife and I led one for a year and a half, and it was really just instrumental in our lives, and we really enjoyed it, and it's a really, really great thing.
I love it. You can check out more details, renovateabq.org. In fact, you can check out all the past teachings. If you missed them, you can podcast them there as well. And of course, Sunday nights at 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
We're going through shock therapy with your teachings. In fact, we are going backwards. So if you want to check out Checkmate Live, you can go back to the Indoctrinated series, which just kicked off on shock therapy.
Yeah.
And
if you want to, this Sunday at 6:30, you can listen to Shock Therapy Live and Shock Therapy on the way to the Lobo Theater.
Yes!
To go watch Aaron Gillespie.
Oh, man, I'm so stoked.
Oh,
Aaron
my
Gillespie,
goodness.
He will be here. He's doing the weekend services right here at Calvary Albuquerque.
So fun.
All of the worship going on this weekend is going to be Aaron Gillespie, and then Sunday night at the Lobo Theater, live at the Lobo with Aaron Gillespie.
If you're like, who's Aaron Gillespie? You're most likely over 25. But Aaron Gillespie, he was the drummer and the soft vocalist for Under Oath, and now he's the front man for the Almost, another incredible band, but he's a phenomenal musician, and we're bringing him out. He's going to do a great concert, a night of worship, a night of energy, and just a phenomenal time, and you
I'm
don't
excited.
Want to miss it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show Friday, and this weekend, me and Teo, we will be there for sure.
Yeah, tickets are only $10 in advance. If you want to get them, you can go to calvaryabq.org, or if you want to get them at the door, they're $15 at the door, but it's just going to be a lot of fun, a great, great time.
Now, you talked a little bit about Renovate and Lobo groups, and a question came into my mind, because this last week we were hanging out with a bunch of friends, and one friend started talking to me about family members of theirs who aren't plugged into a church, and she was trying to talk to them, and asked me personally, hey, what do you think about this? Because she has family members who don't necessarily vibe with other humans, if you will. I'm trying to put it as kindly as possible.
They don't vibe with other humans?
There you go. And so they podcast, but they only podcast. They stay at home. They'll watch it on their Apple TV or whatever, and that's their church. Okay, guys, it's Sunday. Time to get in front of the TV. And it's not like, oh, well, they don't have the ability to get to a church. They don't. No. That's just, they don't want to have to get involved, and they got burned at a church in the past, and so because of that, they just don't feel like they need to be a part of a quote unquote church.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I would say.
Renovate's not a church. And we actually tell people that consistently. Because we have some people that come to Renovate and they want to treat that like their church.
Right.
Renovate's not a church. Renovate is a ministry of a church.
Right.
And so we don't function like a church. We don't do things that a normal church does. We have an environment that a normal church doesn't have.
Right.
If you come to Renovate, the worship and the whole experience is going to feel more like a concert you went to one time than a church service you went to one time. You know, it's different. It's not your typical, it's not your typical thing. You can come, and if you just want to sit in the back and just listen and just enjoy it, that's fine. If you want to get involved in a Lobo group, you can. Again, it's whatever you want to do. We want to make you feel comfortable. Our motto, all of our leaders wear these orange shirts that say redeem the time, and our whole motto, and this is one thing that we constantly reinforce, is that we're here for you.
Yeah.
And we say that at every service, but we're here for you. And so we want to help you feel as comfortable as we possibly can. We want to make sure you enjoy your experience. So we really pride ourselves on that. And so if you come, we want to let you know we're here for you, and whatever we can do to make your stay enjoyable, we want to do that.
The cool thing is, you say, you know, it's not like quote unquote normal church. It's not like anything else. And yet at the same time, as we saw last week, 30 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. So God is obviously moving.
Yeah.
God is doing some incredible things there. RenovateABQ.org is the website for information on Renovate and the ministry and everything going on. It goes down every Thursday night at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater.
Yeah. You know, and this is what I would say too. If you like listening to Shock Therapy Live, you're going to enjoy Renovate.
Yeah.
Because I talk at Renovate the same way I talk in Shock Therapy Live. I'm very real.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that in the church today, oftentimes, this is kind of why we started Shock Therapy Live. People aren't real. They don't talk about real things. They don't talk how they normally talk. All of a sudden, it's like, I get at church and I have to be a different person.
Right.
And you don't have to do that at Renovate.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the bluntness and the candor of Shock Therapy Live, you'll enjoy Renovate because, you know, we really believe in the reality and that the Bible has something to say to our lives today and it can help us deal with the issues we deal with today. And so at Renovate, we do Q&As sometimes. One thing we'll do every now and then is during the actual teaching, we'll open up Q&As so you can send in questions actually via text message, and I'll answer them during the message, during the actual teaching. So,
which is pretty great.
There's just a lot of different things. We just do things differently. And, and I think that it's necessary in our day and age to have a dose of reality. And
yeah. People want truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ingrained in us. It's encoded in our DNA. God has set eternity in our hearts, it says in Ecclesiastes. And obviously, Jesus being the way, the truth, the life, we are yearning for that. We long for it. And so when we see somebody in a white suit saying, "Hallelujah, if you just send me $49 right now, you too can be blessed."
Yeah.
And then they send
everyone
it
knows
in.
It only takes $47 to be blessed.
Oh, my bad.
So.
And so then you send it in and you're still not blessed and you wonder, well, where is God? This guy said that. People are yearning for truth, man. They just want some honesty, some truth, which is why we do Shock Therapy Live, which is why we have ministries like Renovate here at Calvary Albuquerque. And I'm telling you, man, you got to get plugged in somewhere. CalvaryABQ.org for a list of the ministries. There are hundreds of ways to get involved. I'm tired of people saying, hey, megachurch, there's too many people, I can't do that. That's because you're lazy. Get off your butt.
Yeah, and I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 18. I don't care if you're 45. Come to Renovate.
I don't care if you're 140.
Join us tomorrow, Thursday at the Lobo, 7:30. We're going to have a great time, and I hope you're there to meet
us. There you go. RenovateABQ.org. If you miss any part of the show, you can podcast it at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. That is it for us. We will see you guys again next Wednesday, 9 a.m.
Peace.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.